This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. A lot of fun so far on the show today. Look, I guess I need to apologize to our buddy Brandon Mincy, who hit us up on Twitter. He says he's 6'2" and loves to get his boogie on, man. He also said Gumby is dope. So we were talking about it earlier.
I don't apologize for how you feel.
It is 92.9 The Game night down at the Hawks tonight against the Pacers, which kind of one of those weird deals that I don't know that I've ever seen where the Hawks will face off with the Pacers twice at State Farm Arena in the span of 3 days. I actually am all game for it. Like, I wish they did series like Major League Baseball. It'd make a lot more sense travel-wise and probably, you know, save some legs in a lot of different ways. And also, I'm not sure that a team like the Indiana Pacers is really going to complain about spending a few days in the city of Atlanta. You know, they'll be at the best hotel in town like they always are, like all the NBA teams are, and they'll be just at home. They'll be fine for a few days. So
Dylan's,
it'll be a lot of fun.
They'll also be able to get some lemon pepper wings from a certain establishment.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And they'll also have a chance to listen to the morning shift, the hometown take, and everything else going on, because after tonight, they'll know exactly who we all are after 92.9 The Game night, as soon as they see me, you know, folding up my arms in the DJ booth with Squid. And
I hope the DJ's in the middle of us.
I'm sure. Because
I don't want to. I don't want to be standing next. I'm so sick of standing next to you.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
Sick of standing next to you too. What's that supposed to mean?
No. It just doesn't do me justice.
Yeah.
That's all.
Man. Like I said, a lot of fun.
Five, 8.5 people weren't meant to stand next to 6'6" people. Sorry.
A lot of fun conversations going on today, man. And later on, we'll get into mic'd up some of the craziness. I had a mic'd up coming up at the end of the 7:40 before the 8 o'clock hour. I almost had to throw hands with my own mother last night. FaceTime me. She didn't even realize she was offending me, but I thought we were going to have to go. I was like, just stop talking. So, we'll get to that at 7:40. Big win for Florida and Tuscaloosa last night. Talked about that. We'll get back into that a little bit. We were just talking about Joey Bosa and the fact that he was released. And could that be an option for the Atlanta Falcons? We also have been breaking down today the top corners available on the free agent market. Now, I made the argument earlier that I think the defensive ends and the corner that are available on the market, completely different topics, right? The defensive ends look to me, for the most part, other than maybe one or two, like, guys, you're going to sign a two-year contract. Maybe you put three on it and it looks like a two-year contract. The top five corners to me, and we're talking about DJ Reed, talking about Javarius Ward, talking about Carlton Davis. Those are guys that are going to get into the $15 million range and spread it out to me over 4 or 5 years. Like, that's just kind of how the NFL is built this offseason. My question would be to you, if we go out and sign either a defensive end or a corner in free agency, does that, in your mind, completely wipe them off the options for the first round of the draft? I think we all have our theories, and I think over the last few years, the Falcons have completely proven us wrong when it comes to first-rounders either way.
Well, that's because we keep listening to what they have to say, and we keep acting like we're acknowledging what they're saying, yet we're not, because they consistently tell us, and we had Terry Fontenot on last week? I think it was last week.
Last week from the combine.
Yeah, I asked him, are you adjusting best player available to mean best defensive player available? And he says the whole thought process behind best player available is to not reach on players.
Right.
The prior administration would draft for need. they would draft the best player they thought or the best player on their board for need. But if that player was, if they were drafting 12th and the player for their need was the 19th best player on their board or on the board or on their board or whatever, even though they were drafting in the slot for the 12th, they would still go grab him.
Right.
Because they were drafting for need.
Right.
So Terry's telling you no. The answer to that question is no. Because if they go get DJ Reed and they sign him to a big deal, and then the best player on the board at 15 on the Falcons board, not Mel Kiper's, not Lance Zierlein, not any Todd McShay, you name them, Daniel Jeremiah. No, not on their board, but on the Falcons board, and the best okay. player is Jahdae Barron. They're going to draft him.
Okay, but let me rebuttal with this. All right, let me throw this right back at you because I think you and I both. I think we like Terry. I think Terry's made. I don't think he gets credit for a lot of the moves he has made that have been successful. There are some people that only think his successful picks so far have been Drake London and Bijan. All right. I don't think that's true. I think Terry he needs to get credit for Jesse Bates. He needs to get credit for locking up A.J. Terrell. I think he's made a lot of good moves. But let me just say this. If you're trying to tell me that we're not listening, I would make the rebuttal that we are just assuming that Terry Fontenot is going to go about his business in the same way as the rest of the NFL or the same way that looks like it makes logical sense to us. Not that we're not listening to him. But I think in a lot of times when you look at it, I would have never thought quarterback last year. You know why? Because it doesn't make logical sense. But he was the number one player on their board when they got there, and they drafted him because they thought they found their guy.
But how many freaking years in a row do we have to say it doesn't make logical? I sat here last year and said if they drafted a quarterback, it would be GM malpractice.
Yeah.
And what did he do? He drafted a quarterback, and it turned out to be the smartest thing he could have ever done. In last year's draft.
That's a big statement.
But here's the problem.
Do we know that already? It's a big statement.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. You think you sit here today and think you have the quarterback of the future. They have proclaimed that. That's what Raheem said. Michael Penix Jr. is our starter. He looked pretty good. Nobody knows what the future holds. But to say that we shouldn't listen because it defies logic, well, they've done it.
You're making my point.
Tyler Algier just came off a 1,000-yard season, and everybody goes, "You don't need another guy." Although right. in the NFL these days, you do. It's not bad to have two running backs, unless one of them is say Kwan or Bijan or Derrick Henry. But guess what? Or an Alvin Kamara. But they went and did it. So we just keep saying they're not going to do these things, and they keep doing it. Yet we keep talking ourselves into taking our favorite player, and then we get upset when they don't. I'm not arguing for them. I'm just telling you that I can't sit here and say for that because they go sign an edge rusher, they won't draft another edge rusher when they signed a quarterback and only one can play at a time, then they go draft a quarterback last year.
But I think that's my exact point is a lot of time we look at it and go, well, you know, Terry tried to tell us. They told us there was a contingent going out to Washington to work out Michael Penix.
But we heard that
they ate dinner with Bijan Robinson. My point is, I don't know that I'm not listening. It's that it just doesn't seem even possible. It would have never seemed possible. Even on draft night, it didn't even seem possible that we were taking Michael Penix
in the top 10. In class, when you were at Alabama, because I'm assuming you went to class. They made you go to class at Alabama, right?
Listen, I didn't play in the NIL era. All right, okay. I had to go to class. I needed that degree.
Okay,
Neither
did Cardale Jones, but he didn't go to college to play school.
Whether I'm using that degree is another conversation, but we'll talk about that a different day.
Did your teacher teach you a theory or a whatever, and you sit there and say, "Oh, I don't think that's right. I don't think. I just don't. I think with the teacher tells me it's a fact that." We fought the British in the Revolutionary War, but I mean, I don't know. Would we? Did we? I don't know. Like, did you? You can't. We can't question everything. So when someone tells you something, you listen. And I have questioned it for the entire time Terry Fontenot's been here. They're not going to draft a tight end at 4. Draft tight end at 4. They're not going to draft a wide receiver at 8. They draft a wide receiver at 8. They're not going to draft a running back at 8. They did it at 8. They're not going to take Michael Penix. They did it. They're telling you what they're doing. And we aren't listening because we want what we want. So I can't tell you that they're going to, that even though they go, Because guess what? Guess what you have now if you go sign DJ Reed and draft Jade Barron or Will Johnson? You have the best.
Got a good young secondary.
You have the best secondary in the league.
Here's where I think your metaphor is slightly off. Did my professor teach me? Sure. Are we saying that, because most of the time professors teach you factual things, unless it's like a philosophy style class. I don't know that I'm putting Terry Fontenot as the professor in this scenario.
You're mistaking it for me saying he's the all-knowing.
But that's what a professor is. A professor's going to teach me what I think. He better really know what he's talking about if I'm supposed to take it as some kind of biblical wording.
You're saying that he's getting it right every time. I'm just telling you that.
You're saying he's getting it right every time.
No.
It's not arrogance. It's a confidence.
That's not what I'm saying.
I'm saying the other moves would have made logical sense, and you're telling me he's been trying to tell us and he's made all the right moves. Michael Penix, the quarterback of the future.
I didn't say they were the right moves. I said he's telling you what he's going to do, and you're ignoring it. It's like I don't know.
I hear that part of your argument.
All right, fine. All right.
I hear that part of your argument. I'm just saying,
listen to me now. Listen to me. It's like you sitting there telling Ridge, if you grab that piece of candy, I'm going to put you in timeout. Don't do it. And then Ridge grabbing the candy and saying, well, why are you putting me in timeout? I told you I was going to do that. You did it anyway. I told you not to get up. Terry Fontenot, basically, I told you not to get your heart set on a certain player. I'm going to draft a player I think is the best player available. It doesn't matter what I do in free agency. And then you say, well, they got that guy in free agency, so now I know they're going to get X player because that's what they need. You stop looking at what they do in free agency and saying, well, they address the need in free agency, so they surely won't go draft that same type of player.
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. Stop, full stop. I let you talk. I understand what you're saying. My question is that the right thing to do? Not what Terry's going to do. Is it the right thing to do?
It doesn't matter if it's the right thing to do.
Yes, it does matter. What are you talking about?
Because they're still going to do what they want to do.
It doesn't matter if we sign a quarterback for $20 million and they go draft one in the first round? Doesn't matter to you because we still don't have a pass rush? That does matter.
Does it matter?
It absolutely freaking matters.
Hold on. My
point is it the right move? Not what Terry's going to do. I don't know where this line in miscommunication has come. I'm not asking you if that's what Terry's going to do. I'm saying it's the right thing to
do. How do you know if it's not the right move? It turned out to be the right move last year.
We don't know if it did. Now we're still on the books for $40 million for Kirk Cousins, and we have a guy we think is going to be good, Michael
Penix. So you would rather be sitting here today on the books for $40 million not knowing that you had the future of the franchise?
I would say that there's just as many questions moving forward as there were last year at this time. Yes.
Okay.
We can't say that Michael Penix is going to win a Super Bowl. We don't know that. Don't know that Terry Fontenot made the right moves.
What do you think he's got as good of a chance of winning the Super Bowl as Caleb Williams does?
I would say that if we don't figure out the defense and the pass rush, then no, he ain't going to win.
Hell, we've been saying that since 2012.
And where are we at?
Oh, we play.
But somehow Terry Fontenot's the professor and the dad in the metaphor.
See, you're taking it as I'm saying he's the all-knowing. First off, not all dads are all-knowing. Neither are all professors.
I completely agree.
I mean, in fact, professors are probably as wrong as they are right half the time.
Like I said, there's some philosophy.
The fact of what I'm telling you is he's the person with the power in this situation. He's telling you what he's going to do. I'm trying to tell you, I don't know if it's right or wrong or not. Don't get your heart set on it.
Okay.
That's the point that you don't want to listen to. And we as fans refuse to listen because we want what we want. No one wants an edge rusher more than me. But I am not going to get my heart set on it in this draft and get my heart broken again.
Me and you are going to continue this conversation on the other side of the break.
It's a confidence.
We're still answering two different questions. And we'll continue that conversation. Also, man, a massive amount of moves yesterday in the NFL. We'll break all those down and end the huddle. Stick with us here. It's a spirited morning shift. Sports Radio 929 The Game. 725. Sports Radio 929 The Game. It's morning shift. Squid Billy, Mike Johnson, Mikey P hanging out with you here on this beautiful Thursday morning. Hopefully not as windy today as it was yesterday.
Dude, yeah, it's cold.
I thought the trees in my yard were going to blow over yesterday.
Yeah, the wind was cutting yesterday.
Blustery.
I got something to say.
Uh-oh.
I want to get back to what we were talking about before the break.
Okay.
Because
you've been stewing over there for a little bit.
Well, here's the problem. I'm being missed. You're I don't know if it's right or wrong. The only way you to know what this team has done is right or wrong is what happens on the field. And if they can ever continue, they build something and win something. You know, just become a winning franchise again. Seven straight seasons, I think, without a playoff appearance. The best record you've had was 8-9 in that stretch, if I'm not mistaken. It's not about right or wrong for me. But I sit here on March
6th
at 7:26 in the morning in 2025, and I absolutely refuse to fall in love with a player in this draft.
Yeah.
And
seems like a mistake I've made over and over again.
Because I don't want to be sitting here on, Dylan, quickly find me the day of the draft. I believe it's April
23rd, sounds right.
Whatever. But I don't want to be sitting here the morning after that, Friday morning after the draft, and upset.
April 24th.
Okay, so April 25th, I don't want to be sitting here. I'm upset because they did not draft the player that I wanted. When you ask me if they sign an edge rusher or if they sign another secondary player, if that means it eliminates them from drafting another edge rusher or another secondary player, I can't tell you that.
Right.
I would love to say in a perfect world if they go sign Josh Sweat, that means we're getting Jahad Campbell or Jahde Barron or Will Johnson. Okay? I would love to tell you that. But I can't, because the reality of the situation is you don't know. Because the one thing they have been very upfront with is they will draft the best player on their board, the player they like the most on their board, no matter where he plays. And if last year didn't prove that to you, is it right? I don't know. It looks right now with Michael Penix Jr. It looks right with Bijan, and it looks right with Drake.
Let me reframe, before we go into that, let me reframe the question then. In the way that it was meant to be asked and the way it was meant for you to answer. If the Falcons go out and sign a cornerback in free agency, should that eliminate them drafting one in the first round? That, to me, that's why I'm like, we're answering two different questions.
Well,
because it probably should. Because you've got so many holes defensively.
Well, how many cornerbacks do you need on the field at one time these days? On average, more than not.
Three.
Okay.
You need three good ones.
So,
and you still got Clark Phillips in your back pocket, by the way.
So if I can upgrade that position, I can't sit here and tell you that it should eliminate them. Just like if they go sign an edge rusher in free agency, I don't think it should eliminate them from drafting one. Dude, get as many as you need. At this point, play difference makers on defense, you have three. You have three difference makers on defense. Two of them are in the secondary, and the other is a linebacker.
Yes.
Okay? It's Caden Ellis, it's Jesse Bates, and it's A.J. Terrell. Those are the three recognizable playmakers on this team that you could ask fans, that you could ask, I think, NFL people, and they would say you probably have two to three.
Yeah. And I think those conversations around all three of those guys will continue moving forward. What would they be under Jeff Ulbrich's, defensive scheme? I don't think it's going to change that much. I think Raheem was always in charge of this defensive scheme.
Yeah, but it changed when he paid attention more last year. You changed. You went from a team playing 6-7 yards off the ball every freaking snap to moving those guys up and hugging more late in the season. That's why you got more sacks late in the season.
I think that's just and again, we got to get in. I think it's just simply changing the game plan, saying this ain't working. Let's move to something else. Speaking of moving to something else.
But that's why you have a defensive coordinator that you trust, though, that he can that's why guys get fired when they don't recognize what's not working. And they don't have it, or they don't have an adjustment to make.
Well, yeah, and look, this is, for me, it's one of the things that really sticks in my craw is when a coach comes out and talks about how he doesn't have the players. Okay, well, change what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, you're not always going to have all pro corners and Revis Island and John Abraham and whoever else, man. It's just not going to be a thing. All right, we talked about Joey Bosa earlier. The Chargers moved on from him. He spent 9 years with the squad. Another guy on the flip side of that conversation, how about Max Crosby? Come on down. Pay that man his zeros. 3-year extension, $106.5 million, the highest non-quarterback now in the NFL, man.
You know where he was drafted?
Congratulations. 35.5 average annual value.
You know where he was drafted?
Do I know, like, where in the draft? I don't know. It's a good question. Third round? Higher?
Fourth round.
Yeah, fourth round.
They developed him.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Developed him. And look, you have to develop yourself. So you have to want him to come in here and work and do work to get better in the offseason and during the season. But developing players is a real thing.
I will say, I think when I look at Max Crosby, he's got a unique personality. I don't know that he and I would be boys, but I have no problem with the Raiders paying him because I have no doubt that he's going to scratch and claw to get the most out of himself.
When you find elite players at the positions of the important positions in this league, you pay them.
Yeah,
it's why you pay quarterbacks, left tackles, star wide receivers, and star edge rushers.
Yeah. In other NFL news yesterday, Joe Thuney, the All Pro left guard / left tackle from the Kansas City Chiefs.
No.
Yeah. No.
I don't think he's going to Chicago to play left tackle.
No, he's not. He got traded to the Bears yesterday, and they also have they also brought in Jonah Jackson as well from the Rams. So they've kind of remade their offensive line. Look, they are doing different things, investing in different places. They know that they need to shore up the offensive line. I, as an offensive lineman, would look at you and tell you that does not mean that Caleb Williams is not going to get sacked a ton. If Caleb Williams doesn't understand his outlets and timing and everything else, he's still going to be among the league leaders in getting sacked. You got to get the ball out, but this will help.
With those moves and those guys obviously coming in, does that mean they're less likely to sign Dahlman? I know Dahlman plays center, but those guys are going to be next to whoever's in there. And I think sometimes I've always kind of think you could maybe go a different – you don't have to pay the top free agent center if you've got two pretty good guards next to him.
I think it probably does. And honestly, if I'm Drew Dahlman, I don't know that I want to play in Chicago in front of Caleb Williams, but I guess if the zeros line up, I would. But yeah, I think it probably does probably take them out of the running for a Drew Dahlman. Yeah, I would wager to guess that.
I read somewhere that Dahlman was a really good run blocker, but he was a bad pass blocker. And I've said I don't want to pay Dahlman because when we've talked about it, Ryan Neusel started 8 games last year,
and
Dahlman started 9. Let's not, though, Dahlman fits the scheme here, as you've pointed out. You said it's a perfect scheme for him. But he's like, I think he had a pass-blocking win rate of like 96%.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
Pretty good.
That gets kind of pushed around a little bit too much in terms of the conversation around Drew Dahlman. All right, look, we got to go to break. And when we come back, I want to continue some of these NFL conversations that we're having. Still a lot of other news. We got to get to Zach Bond, DK Metcalf. Also, man, round ball. We're going to go back and talk a little bit about that Florida game in Tuscaloosa last night against Alabama. 92.9 the game night at the Hawks. And you know we're going to hit that mic'd up. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 the game.
A blowout type or anything like that. Talk for this game where obviously on demand and been trying to find a way.
Yeah, you saw the Gators won?
This is Al Horford in his presser yesterday at Celtics, I don't know, shoot around practice, whatever they were doing. And Derek White walks by and he just completely interrupts. That's how how I felt you walked into the studio this morning. Like that's how I felt there was a level.
All of right.
Yeah, let's hey, stop. On the show today, we need to talk about Max. Hey, you saw the Gators win?
No. All right, for those of you who weren't listening earlier,
disrespect.
What happened this morning is Mike and I normally arrive within 5 minutes of each other. So the other will just hang out, listen, and then we'll come up together.
Catch
upstairs.
The service elevator, yeah.
Mike texts me. I'm literally at the X. Mike texts me. I'm already up here.
I said it like that. Like, you read the text like that?
Yeah.
In your brain, that's what I sounded like? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, finish my story. I
woke up early.
I have my Gators hoodie on today. So, I walk in, and I got my Gators hoodie on, and Mike doesn't bite. He just starts telling some random story. So, I open the door in my office. We go in, and I turn the TV on, and he's like, hey, I want to watch this NFL show. That I wanted to hear some of these stories. I said, well, I need to watch some highlights first. So
yeah,
I get the Fire Stick fired up. I go to YouTube, Florida, Alabama highlights. I hit play. He ain't looking it when I hit it. And then it starts and he sees them do the tip off and And then he still don't bite.
Nah.
Still don't bite.
Nah.
Then he comes on
the
show.
Satisfaction.
About 6:40, starts crying about it.
Yeah.
Some people like talk trash around here without talking trash. Well, yeah. You know what? I do both.
Yeah.
I do both, man.
Do you?
I brought it because my Gators brought it last
What's
night.
What's the trash talk? That was cute. That was the trash talk right there? That's cute.
Trash talk was making you watch 10 minutes of highlights of your
team. Didn't watch 10 minutes.
Getting beat.
Didn't watch 10 minutes. Never looked up from the laptop.
Yes, he
Saw
did.
Saw it all happen last night. Didn't
he
need
did.
To.
He looked at he goes, I thought Condon hit his head on the backboard on that dunk.
I do have to say this, Mike. It does seem like Bosa's in your head right now.
Is it?
Oh,
does
yeah.
It feel
I'm
like
in his
that?
Head.
Bo Duke over here.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'm not feeling it at all. But, look, man, I got to give credit where credit's due. Florida wins a big one in Tuscaloosa last night. Bam, like their best version of basketball, although it's hard to even tell because the competition's been so freaking ridiculous in the SEC.
I mean, lately.
It lost to Tennessee Saturday, and Florida last night, yeah. It's like, are they not playing well, or are they just playing really good teams right now?
Well, those two teams are better than them.
Exactly. That's
so,
my point.
I mean,
does that mean they're not playing well?
You can't lose at home when you're the seventh-ranked team in the country, can you? Please don't lose at home Saturday, Florida.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say.
They play Ole Miss.
You definitely can because all the time.
The Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, Florida, Texas A&M. The SEC is loaded.
Missouri is a sneaky good team, too.
Missouri, like, some good things happen. I think Missouri lose last night. Something happened that kept, like, Tennessee going down and Missouri as well kept Alabama right where they needed to be as far as it. So, Bama, the way it looks right now, won't play till next Friday in the SEC tournament.
Well, don't sleep on Ole Miss because they're 21-9.
Yeah. Really? They beat the crap out of Bama earlier in the year.
How about this? Georgia is 7-10 in SEC play. They're 19-11 overall. But Auburn in Florida and Alabama have been the three-headed monster. And Tennessee's been right there with them.
Yes.
Remember, Tennessee was ranked number one early in the year.
Yes.
And Tennessee split the season series with Florida.
Yes.
It's just a great year for college basketball if you're an SEC fan.
Yeah.
They are. And there's that. The thing about it is like St. John's is a really good team in the NCAA.
Yes. Yes.
But nobody, you don't ever hear about them in this region because the SEC is so good. It would be a I don't think it would be a little bit surprising if you don't have an SEC team in the Final Four. If you don't have multiple teams in the Final Four.
Again, and I asked you this question a month ago, and I think it's probably a good time to rehash it. If I gave you the SEC in the field, which do you think you would rather have as far as winning a national championship? Which one would you put your money on? I don't think there's any doubt that I'm putting my money on the SEC against the field.
I think the numbers might be on your game because Auburn, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Missouri. Let me start this again. Stop me when I say a team that shouldn't be in the NCAA tournament. Auburn, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, A&M, Mizzou, Ole Miss, Kentucky, Miss State, Vanderbilt, Georgia.
Yeah, you're getting there. Georgia would be the cutoff, right?
Well, Arkansas is right behind them.
Vanderbilt, where are they at right now?
They're 20-10, 8-9 in the conference.
Yeah. So, you're getting there. You're getting to the cutoff line. That's a ton of teams, to your point.
So, but I think Vanderbilt, Georgia, Arkansas, those three are bubble teams. I think Georgia maybe is in right now, but they all need to do something in the SEC tournament, which is already. It's next week.
Yeah.
It's next week, man.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun to hash through that, man. It really is. And I think that anybody that's an SEC basketball – we're really an SEC fan, right? You're not just an SEC basketball fan. But anybody that's an SEC basketball fan is going to look at that and wonder if – like, you're going to – you know, Auburn's one of the best teams, if not the best team. They're going to be possible number one overall seed, everything else. It's going to be probably harder for them to win the SEC tournament than it is – to actually make a Final Four run and win the national title. Because you're going to jam-pack all those quality teams into the number of days that you're going to see next week.
I don't know, though. What's the format they doing? Are they doing the same as the women's? I mean, if that's so, Auburn and Florida, as it stands right now, will be like they'll be in the quarterfinals. They'll only play three games.
That's what I was trying to say about Alabama a minute ago. The fact that Tennessee goes down and the result in Missouri last night, like Bama's still, I think, looking at an opportunity to play on next Friday. I think it's the top four teams that get two first-round buys, and they'll move into that Friday slot. That's massive when it comes – I hate that format, but it's massive.
Well, I think it's – hold on. When you got 16 teams, I think it's right. You're the four. These are the four best teams in the conference, and not to be that guy, but do you really want those guys wearing themselves out a week before they got to go represent the?
It's a tournament.
Let me finish. Before they get to go play in the NCAA tournament and represent the brand, the logo. That's the thing. I'll be straight up with you. Come March, come the NCAA tournament, I hope every team in the SEC loses but one. Sorry, I do. I don't, because you know why? Because I don't want to see them later in the tournament. That's why.
Yeah, and
teams you're familiar with, teams you've already played, they know what you do. They know what you've done to them.
Again, hats off to Florida for the big dub last night, man. It was a close back-and-forth game. I think it was a one-point game at halftime. Condon, I believe is his name, who had the triple-double for Florida last night a number of times. Just alley-oop after alley-oop in the lane. Just floated alley-oop and just dunk going down. Bama was doing it a lot last night as well from Mark Sears, but just not able to get the result in the end. Florida hits a couple more shots down the stretch, and they're able to pull away. Ended up being a five-point game, probably a little bit more of a wider game than that, but 5 points in the end. So shout out to both those squads. Really, really good basketball in the SEC. 92-9 the game night tonight at the Atlanta Hawks State Farm Arena. It's the Indiana Pacers that'll be in town. We've mentioned it a couple of times. Two games, same opponent, same venue, 3 days. I think this is going to be interesting for a number of reasons. First of all, I wonder what changes will be made. I would say that 80% of the time, no matter which way you flip it, when you play a home and home 3 days separate, probably going to be a situation where it's 1-1 no matter what. But I do think that there's an opportunity that you don't usually have in some of these situations where you can make tinkers to the game plan. Like Friday, they'll probably go in, watch film, and go, oh, well, they were doing this to us last night. Let's make sure we change that tomorrow night. But I just, no matter, above all else, and I know Indiana's a good team, I just want to see the Hawks continue to ascend. Like, I want to see them continue to get better. If you go 1-1, I'll consider that a win. I hate to say that, and it sounds so downtrodden, dude, but it's just where we are with the Hawks right now. And I made the point to Dylan earlier talking about the Pacers. I think that they're fighting against possibly being the next version of the Hawks. They go to the conference finals last year. They've made the moves you feel like can get them over the top. If it's not a championship caliber team right now for Indiana, then what's their next move? I think they're kind of out of moves. Like, I don't know where you go from there.
You just explained the problem with the NBA.
Yeah.
You just explained the problem. The NBA is the, I think even more than baseball, is the most top-heavy league in American sports. I know Dylan can probably jump because Dylan is a big NBA guy. Dude, other than, all right, Cleveland, Boston, the Thunder.
Oklahoma City, Oklahoma City beat Memphis pretty bad last night. Yeah. By the way,
and I'm gonna throw LA in that conversation with Luka because they're playing really well.
Yeah, they're like 7-2, I think.
Yeah, since, Golden State's playing well too.
Golden State is, and they're gonna be a problem. They're gonna have to come out of the play-in, but they will be a problem with Steph and Jimmy now because they're finding their stride too. But I think the Lakers, going back to them real quick, I think they've moved all the way up to second in
the
West.
They are. They're tied for second with the Nuggets. Yep. They have the winning percentage technically.
Yeah, didn't even say Denver. Yeah.
Denver's another good one.
But the point is, there's about four or five teams every year in the NBA that can win the title. I think you have, how many times have we had the final wild card team in the NFL win the Super Bowl? The Giants did it twice.
It does happen.
But hey, real quick, LeBron, 50,000 points. It's such a crazy stat that he scored 50,000 points. I think, though, that some people view it as a little diminished because of how long he's played, which isn't fair considering the longevity is one of the things that has made him so great.
Yeah,
right.
Also, it probably didn't help in his cut that he basically, patted himself on the back when he's talking about. He's like, yeah. He's like, anybody else do that? It's like, okay.
But I do think to your point about LeBron and like why people shouldn't diminish his accomplishment. You look at dude's numbers. I mean, he's been averaging around 23 to 26 points per game his whole career since he got in the league. I mean, I saw something on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it these days, something where, like, they showed what he was doing when he was in his prime of primes, when he was with the Miami Heat, to what he's doing now with the Lakers. And, I mean, some statistical categories that he's doing, he's better. He's shooting better. His points are right there the same. I mean, it's phenomenal.
I know you got to get that mic'd up. no athlete to me has ever lived up to the hype more
no.
and better than LeBron James.
No, that's why I'll always respect him. I don't think he'll ever get to the GOAT conversation like Mike or like a Kobe because of I don't think he has the competitiveness, that competitive streak the way those guys did. And I think that's why some guys sleep on him in terms of being the GOAT. I think he calls himself the GOAT, and I think a lot of people don't like that. So I think his competitiveness, and you hear Michael going, and I didn't like that. Like, it just sounds corny when LeBron says it. You know what I mean? This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Let's hit it. Today's Mic'd Up is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style. One of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Something happened. Speaking of family style or, you know, everything else. I've made it no secret. I'm going to Disney World with my family in a month. Got 1 month. There's like a 1 month countdown till I go to Disney World. Yesterday, had an issue with my own mother over this conversation. Now, my mom, look, she was invited to Disney World. Her and my dad, both retired, opted not to come. Now, I do have older nieces, which is probably a topic of conversation you'll end up getting into, Bo, with your little one on the way. But my older nieces, you know, when they went to Disney World for the first time, my parents were in attendance. Now, I don't mind that. All right? My parents, phenomenal grandparents. Always available. You call them, they will literally drop everything. If I called them right now, they'd be here in 5 hours or whatever it took to get up from Florida. All right. But my mom yesterday starts going on a spill about all the reasons she's not going with us to Disney World, to the point where it made me a little bit miserable about my own trip, and I had to tell her to stop talking. She's like, you know, we really wanted to make it, but it's going to be, April's a really busy time down there. The lines are going to be really, really long. The kids are probably going to be a little bit fussy. You know, I think we'd probably get a little bit tired of walking around down in Disney World. It's kind of expensive to be. I was like, yo, I'm going to Disney World.
So
stop talking.
Now, not to interject my thoughts.
Sorry, Double J is what we'll call her, Janet.
But couldn't the big unit and Double J go and then maybe eat breakfast and then go back and do their own thing?
Right,
and then
maybe, by the pool.
Maybe, then maybe come back and eat dinner with y'all and maybe see the kiddos and see y'all and kind of do their version of Disney where they're with you, but they're not.
Yes. I will say this though. They are, because they are phenomenal grandparents. They would be more likely to be like, hey, I know you're going to be tired when y'all get back from Disney World. Why don't you let us come up and take care of the kids for the next 3 days after y'all get home? I guarantee you they would be more likely to do that than to say, hey, let us go down to Orlando and actually hang out with y'all down there. They'd be like, no, we're going to charge our batteries and we'll let y'all get some rest when you get home.
But that's see, they could technically do that on vacation because they could be like, hey, you know what?
I don't know what's more necessary.
I know you spent all day walking around with these long lines and these screaming kids and they're fussy and, you know, you're worn down. You and Lindsay go have a date night in Orlando because that sounds wonderful. But anyway, date night in Orlando.
Listen.
And we'll order room service where, Cinderella brings little Stevie the PB&J sandwich and maybe,
costs $130 for peanut butter and jelly.
Maybe Jasmine brings Ridge his sandwich because I know he's a Jasmine fan from
Jasmine.
Aladdin.
Does love
right?
Jasmine. He's got a belly out.
I think it's cool that you're
he does. We got to go to break, dude. 404-726-0929.
Did you just exploit a Disney character?
We have to roll. We'll talk about more NFL. Also, hit us up on the X, man. I'm taking all the Disney tips you want to give me. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.